Our scripture today is from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 41 to 45. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this reading, which we're about to do together. We ask you for your leadership and guidance. We pray that our hearts and minds are open to receive this glorious and wonderful gift. We also pray for the expounding on the word, that it too may be used for your glory and yours only. Lord, we pray this and thank you that you hear us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Mark chapter 10, verse 41 to 45. Hear now God's word. When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We preached on something like this not that long ago. The scripture was the disciples were walking down the road, and Jesus had asked them later, "What were you talking about?" And they were embarrassed because they were talking about which one of them was the best, the greatest. We'll talk about that a little bit. This is a theme that you find all throughout the Gospels. So, little backstory here. Scriptures leading up to this, what had happened is that James and John came up to Jesus and they said to Jesus, "Lord, do something for us." And Jesus says, "You know, if I can." And they said, "Make one of us sit at your left hand and the other one at your right hand in glory." And Jesus said, "Well, are you able to drink from my cup and are you able to do my baptism?" Of course, his baptism later would be death, and the cup that he would drink would be suffering. And these two brothers said, "Yes, we can." And Jesus said, "Okay, you'll be able to. But to sit at my left and right isn't for me to decide. Those seats are prepared for others already." Now, this story you'll find in the Gospels again at another place. And I believe that Gospel is the Gospel of John, I think. However, that story is told slightly differently in that James and John aren't the ones who approach Jesus with this request. It's James and John's mother who approaches Jesus with this request. And I think that that's portrayed in John. So John kind of changed the story a little bit and threw his mother under the bus on this one. But the result was the same. The disciples were unhappy. You see, their idea of Messiah was still the same. One that God would send in order to free Israel from the tyranny, and they thought at this point the tyranny of Rome, to make them their own nation once again. And so as Jesus came into his glory, earthly glory, as king, they wanted the choice seats, the seats of power and authority, the left and the right. And we also notice that James and John did have a little clout there. James and John, whenever Jesus was going to do something private or personal or significant, he brought James and John and Peter and sometimes Andrew with them. In the book of John, we know that John is the loved one of Jesus, the friend, the one who's always close and at the Last Supper sitting at Jesus' right hand. Who leans his head on Christ to ask him a question. And so maybe they thought they deserved this seat, left and right. It's a lot of power there, especially being in the shadow of one who is greatly powerful. What they can do for them, what they can give them, it's a lot. You know, having power and influence is a pretty nice thing. There's an old T-shirt used to say, "It's not who you know, but who knows you." You ever read that shirt or heard that saying? It's nice when powerful people know you. I've got to say, what people can offer you, knowing people who can offer you great stuff, it's a nice feeling. Stephanie and I got married pretty quick. We were, we met in January, married in June. So we kind of moved a little quick on that one. The benefit of doing that is that for 10 years prior to us getting married, Stephanie's been saving up lots of money to go to Europe. And so I was able to go to Europe with her because we got married. It was pretty nice. There's been a lot of other benefits to marrying her also, of which I am greatly blessed as she gives me that look. I have a clergy friend who, whenever he gets pulled over by a cop, he shows his ID, and immediately over on the other side of the ID is a picture of his son in a full dress state police outfit. He's gotten out of many tickets with that combo of his ID and his son's picture. I also know of another clergy friend who got his driver's license in a full clerical collar. His picture was taken. He's gotten out of many tickets with the police officer saying, I'm sorry to bother you, Father. Please drive slowly next time. He's not even a Catholic. He's United Methodist. But the benefits that we gain in this life from others, from knowing people, I tell you, kind of nice on occasion. The thing that power and prestige can bring can be greatly nice for us. People say nice things. They give you free meals. Being the president of the United States, being CEO of a company. We have a young woman in the AFS program who got stationed with a family who owns their own single-engine jet that over the weekend they fly down to Myrtle Beach just to hang out. Power and prestige can get you some nice things. And the disciples have this on their mind a lot. They're hanging out with one who shows great power, great prestige. One who is greatly influential during that time. And they see in the future will be greatly in influential from then on. And so are worried or concerned with what Jesus can offer them and trying to take advantage of that. And yet Jesus' response to them is, of course, those of you, it's not so among you, whoever wishes to become great must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first must be slave to all. In other words, those who have the blessings in this life, those who receive love from God, those who want great things must give great things up. Must give of oneself. Must show how it is that they can serve those who are around them, and that be their utmost concern. This isn't the most natural way to live. Sometimes can be very difficult to think of life in terms of this. Several years ago, I was going through a really rough time. It's been almost 10 years now, even more. And I had to go through some counseling, not because I wanted to, but because I was forced to. And through that counseling, I was talking to the counselor about all the things that, you know, I had to do in life, all the expectations that were on me, that I put on myself. And he said something like, you know, why do you feel like you're struggling in this, or you're not doing what you should be doing? And at that time, my response was, well, because who's going to take care of me? And sometimes that's the concern that we lead in life. Who's going to take care of me? How am I going to benefit from this, whatever this is? Jesus' answer to his disciples and to us is that I will take care of you. Christ takes care of us. It's a beautiful story in Jesus' lessons about how God provides great clothing for the grass of the field with the flowers and the beauty of that. How God provides food for the birds. And aren't we, in God's eyes, greater than those things? Doesn't God provide for us? A beautiful theme that runs all through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, is how Christ, or God, blesses us to be a blessing to others. This message is one that challenges us every day, that I have fallen short of more times than I would like. And the church, who is the body of Christ, is also left with the same decisions to make every day. How are we as the church blessed to be a blessing to one another and to this community? How can we use what we have to show the love that we've experienced to those whom we run into? That community day that we had the other day was a part of that. To be able to just be where other people are. To give a smile. To give a place of love. Even if it's just for a moment. And even if it's just a hot dog with sauerkraut. And to say, have a great day. We love you. Jesus loves you. It's just a moment. But what an important moment Jesus has shown us for that to be. It's a picture I found on the net. The heart of a servant is in your hands. Christ's heart is in the way that he lived. May we, as a body of Christ, may our heart and our love be seen in the same way. From John chapter 4, verse 13. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Whatever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. May we share that water, that hope in Christ, with all whom we encounter. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.